Dayal Prabhu Dinadayal, Dinadayal Prabhu Dinadayal. Parama Doyal, Prabhu Parama Doyal.
The celebration of Krishna's birthday. One year, Nanda Maharaj organized a grand festival, Nandotsava, to celebrate Krishna's auspicious birthday. Krishna sat upon a celestial golden throne and all the Braja gopis came to worship him. The loud pounding of the bhairi drums, the dinda-dinga sounds from the mridangas and dundubis, the bob from the mandalas, and the skillful beats on the dholaks announced the auspicious festival of Krishna's birthday. The joyous vibration of the occasion was enhanced by the excited voices and jingling ankle bells of the elderly gopis as they greeted the various guests. The learned brahmanas bathed Krishna with thousands of streams of pure water poured from crystal pitchers while purifying the environment with perfectly enunciated mantras. This added waves of attraction to Krishna's already gorgeous body. They dried Krishna with a fine linen cloth, dressed him in a yellow silk dhoti and chadar, decorated him with glittering gems and anointed his forehead with tilak made of garochana. After fixing his jeweled bracelets and armbands, they tied some durva grass around his wrist with turmeric-soaked thread. Following the local customs of such blissful festivals, the merciful Yashoda blessed Krishna by showering flowers upon his head. The elderly gopis sang traditional Brajavas songs and waved lamps respectfully before the Lord. He was kind to his friends and the object of the gopis' love, sat quietly on his asana, accepting arti. Then, with great enthusiasm, the Brajabasis joyfully offered gifts to Krishna and gave him a variety of creamy milk sweets. To properly complete the festival, Yashoda had her servants invite the general public. Yashoda offered palatable food to the wives of the village leaders, the married women, and the young girls of Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj invited the coward men such as Sananda, Upananda, and their wives to take sumptuous food cooked by Rohini, the crest jewel among women. When the coward men arrived, Yashoda honored their youngest sons by worshiping them and offering pearl necklaces. Though pained by separation from their husbands, because they had to accompany their mothers-in-law to the festival, the newly married gopis put on ornate and elegant ankle-length dresses. The tender faces of these newlyweds glowed splendidly under the fine fabric of their veils. Feeling intensely attracted to Krishna, the gopis disclosed their loving sentiments by offering him their sidelong glances in charity. Their bangles fell silent as they embraced Krishna with their eyes. They felt as if they were beholding a bouquet of beautiful flowers. No one noticed the auspicious meeting of Krishna and the gopis. Though they had seen Krishna before, the young unmarried gopis like Danyasaki just stood with their mothers and gazed timidly upon him as if it were the first time. While bathing in the lake of Krishna's exquisite beauty, the unmarried gopis expressed their desire to be his wives by offering him mental flowers scented with camphor. They became shy, however, when Krishna accepted their proposal with a favorable glance. No one could detect the infinite bliss the gopis now relished within their hearts. At that time, Krishna's pet parrot left his side and landed on the lotus feet of a gopi whose heart throbbed with love. Hoping to develop a relationship with Krishna, that excited gopi respectfully welcomed the parrot. Understanding the hint of the parrot, Krishna cast the fresh lotus garland of his glance toward Radha, the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Krishna's glance seemed to say, "O parrot! I saw this gopi Radha looking at me from the watchtower as I took the cows to the forest." No one else saw this secret exchange of sweet love. Understanding that Radha's body had become slender due to her purva rag, Krishna looked upon her with great compassion. Then Yashoda, shining with all auspicious qualities, smiled gently and took lotus-faced Radhika and the other gopis to another room to feed them. After worshipping his best cows with scents and garlands, Brajaraj Nanda escorted the guests to a wide jeweled veranda and set them down on wooden seats. Then he bathed their feet, performed achman, and offered arg. Nanda arranged for Rohini and the wives of Sunanda and Upananda to respectfully serve them first-class food and drink on golden plates. At the conclusion of the meal, Nanda personally gave them betel nut, cardamom, scents, garlands, and ornaments. After the elderly men, children, and babies had eaten the feast, the married women and girls sat down in two rows to eat. Radhika and others received respect according to their position. Yashoda swam in an ocean of happiness as she personally served the gopis. In a voice that sounded as sweet as pattering raindrops of nectar, Yashoda spoke to each guest, "Please do not feel shy. Just eat to your heart's content." Yashoda affectionately served everyone and then honored them with offerings of betel nuts, garlands, ointments, sindura, and gold embroidered cloth. Finally, Yashoda, the crest jewel of good fortune, embraced each of the gopis before sending them home. Smiling broadly, Yashoda distributed the remnants of the feast to the sinless residents of the village. Nanda Maharaj presented gifts to the dancers and musicians while Yashoda blessed them with her upraised palm. Upon concluding the festival, Yashoda thought holding such a festival every day would surely fulfill all her desires. For a moment she felt a touch of sadness, fearing that she may not have fully satisfied all the guests. Playing ball. After his birthday festival, Krishna and his boyfriend spent the days in the forest herding the cows. While walking, they rolled clusters of kunda flowers into balls, which looked just like sesame seed laddus, and bombarded each other's bodies with infallible aim. The boys enjoyed this sport very much. Sometimes they threw the balls high in the sky, as if to tantalize the Swarga Devis, the demigoddesses. At other times, they threw them horizontally, as if making earrings for the deities of the directions. Running along with his companions, the son of the king of Vrindavan absorbed himself in playing. He did not even stop for a moment's rest. To catch a ball thrown high above his head, Krishna looked up, held his tilted turban with his left hand, and caught the ball perfectly in his right hand. Whenever Krishna threw a ball high in the sky, he gracefully raised his right hand and squinted his eyes to reduce the glare of the sun. With his curly hair flying about, Gopal played for hours on end with his friends. His face and body covered in perspiration, Krishna looked like the autumnal full moon studded with pearls. When the game ended, Krishna took shelter of some shady trees to relieve his fatigue. One friend spread his cloth on the ground as a bed. One friend fanned Krishna with leaves, and another massaged his feet. In this way, the coward boys humbly served Krishna. The boyfriends of the Lord, who had performed heaps of pious activities, expressed varieties of blissful rasas as they passed their days herding cows with Krishna, the supreme soul of all.